Thank you. Very nice to be here again, not only listening, but also telling you some of the results of my PhD work, which I had done with Benjamin Barr in the Hamburg University. So first I am going to briefly provide some necessary context and show how the notions of quantum geometry are realized in such theories as loop, gravity and spin foam approach. Then I review some of our previous results indicating that the tetrad degrees of freedom should actually be taken seriously as the part of the configuration space, thus extending it. And then I proceed to my main point, I suggest a modification of the standard framework, which should be made to account for these gauge potentials of translations, and finally what it may imply for the quantization of theories based on connections. So, brief recap. Standard textbook general relativity usually is framed in the language of Riemannian geometry, and its physical content is captured by the Einstein equations. You can also put it in the canonical framework by introducing the auxiliary foliation by special hypersurfaces. Then the zero component of Einstein equation gives you the geometric constraints of the geometric nature, which you should impose on your phase space variables, which are metric, three-dimensional metric of the intrinsic geometry on the hypersurface, and its conjugate momentum gives the extrinsic curvature, the embedding of that hypersurface in the ambient space-time. Well, the most success have been achieved on shifting the emphasis from the metric properties of general relativity to its connective properties, particularly that noting that the curvature is actually the curvature of some unique Levi-Civita connection. The theory can be rephrased in such terms so that your variables become the independent connections, and it can be put in the Palatini form with possible Hoyst modification. And starting with this approach, it reduces on the hypersurface to the canonical theory, giving rise to the Ashtekar-Barbero connection variables, its conjugate momentum, satisfying canonical commutation relations. And in such kinematical phase space, it looks virtually like your usual Young-Mills theory with some Gauss law related to gauge invariance, plus some additional constraints of the geometric nature coming from the general covariance of general relativity. Then you try to proceed in loop gravity with the connection representation, roughly like the Schrödinger picture in usual quantum mechanics, where the connection acts with the multiplication, the momentum with the derivation, on some Hilbert space of square integrable wave function. Then the constraints express the invariance properties with respect to the asymmetries. The actual construction involves the regularization on graphs, where the connection is being reduced to the being propped not with the potentials themselves, but on one-dimensional edges of the spatial graph, giving rise to the partial configuration spaces, the functions depending on connections only through the finite holonomies of rotation given by the connection. The harmonic analysis can describe this space in terms of orthonormal basis of spin networks from group representation theory, representations and intertwiners sitting at the nodes, invariant tensors of group theory. then the resulting discrete geometry picture of space-time arising. Not to understand it is better to go back again to the conjugate variables relating to the metric degrees of freedoms. Those are fluxes, and they naturally smeared, that is the probe, the two-dimensional surfaces complementary to the network, to the edges of the graph, and by the action on the partial configuration spaces, they quantize like quantum mechanical angular momentum. So the spectrum determines the discrete eigenvalues area, and the arising picture is that you have the polyhedra sitting at the nodes, and they are glued along the common boundary, the corresponding to links of the graph, by the condition that the areas should coincide. But then the troubles, this is the kinematical picture, but then the trouble starts when you try to recover space-time or solve the dynamics of those additional constraints which haven't been imposed yet, which needs to be solved to get your hands on quantum gravity. And also the shapes of this polyhedra are quite fuzzy, so they contain some discontinuities when between the phases or torsion degrees of freedom. You might try to hope that this will go away by imposing the constraints, but we will see that it's probably not. So one way to address this dynamical picture is the spin form approach, and it roughly corresponds to what the quantum space-time should be when you view this your spin network states as evolving in time. You get the structure, the foamy structure of the two complex, where the two-dimensional faces labeled by representations, and the edges meeting at the vertices labeled by intertwiners, and spin form provides the amplitude functional for transition probabilities for the boundary states, and roughly factorize over the elements of the two complex. The main justification and motivation comes from the ideal situation of the gravity in three dimensions, where it actually happens to be topological BF theory, which doesn't have local degrees of freedom and can be more or less rigorously quantized, giving rise to the Poincaré-Regge amplitude in terms of this recoupling symbol, 6J recoupling symbol. And in the semi-classical limit, this justifies this to view this as the path, discrete path integral for Regge geometries. So the way how spin forms tries to extend this to the four dimensions is that they do not start with Einstein-Hilbert loop quantum gravity version of it, but they start first with quantizing the analog of BF theory in four dimensions, which has the flat dynamics with vanishing curvatures, and then constructing its state sum partition function. Then constraints are imposed on the B field, which should guarantee that it's of the special form called simple, and it corresponds to some metric geometry. So the emphasis in this perspective is shift from the solving the dynamical constraints to describing the discrete, what are the discrete geometries, and this description is given in terms of the B field, not the tetrads, which are square root of the metric. Roughly, you expect that your cellular decomposition, which is purely topological, and that your variables give rise to some boundary configuration, which characterizes the four-dimensional polytop, polytop corresponding to the vertex as in terms of its shapes and measures. And again, it can be justified that it gives the correct semiclassical limit on the four simplex polytop. That's the four-dimensional tetrahedron. That's for the model which is constructed to correspond to loop quantum gravity on the boundary. This doesn't necessarily have to be, and does define the dynamics for the loop quantum gravity on the boundary. But in general, this is the discrete path integral, and it doesn't have correspond to it. So now coming to what we did with Benjamin realized is that. First, what are the simplicity constraints? Bivector is the simple bivector is the configuration of the two vectors in the multilinear algebra. That's like a cross product, which describes the two-dimensional plane element in terms of its area, orientation in space-time, and the direction in space-time and the orientation on it. Not every antisymmetric two tensor is simple, corresponding to the planar directions, but they can be added together. What the spin, what the simplicity constraints try to achieve is there are two versions of the simplicity constraints. One is the Plebansky quadratic constraints in terms of bivectors only sitting on the faces of your discretization, and another is the linear version, which relies on some extra structure of the four-dimensional normals, and by the positions of the faces in the discretization, they roughly fall into two categories: those which live on the in one tetrahedra here and here, describing its shape, and those which involve the faces which give which are non-degenerate in four dimensions, and involves thus the information from other tetrahedra and the whole some non-local information about the whole polytop. In spin, the first one gives rise to the Barrett-Crane model. The second one is to the current EPRL FK KKL models, implementing only the first part. The second one is somehow follows automatically for the four simplex, and it's not explicitly implemented in the model. I'm going to show that this does not one should care about this about this additional volume constraints.
Sorry, which one are you talking
about? I will talk about both. First, I discuss the.
Let me see where you point.
It's a little bit weird working. First, I discuss the quadratic and then linear. Because it's the quadratic which is was. So one should care about this four volume constraints for the general boundary graphs corresponding to the polytops which are not four simplices. And this is because the.
Because for
simplices, there are. For simplices, fine. No question. Okay. The quadratic one.
What about the linear one?
I will come to this. This is because so one describes the boundary configuration which arises on the boundary in the semi-classical terms, and for this spin forms, this is given by the set of bivectors on the graph satisfying the closure, and those simplicity constraints, these are the quadratic ones. And they appear in general as for the KKL model. And the first time it was realized when the EPRL was put on the cubulations by on the rectangular lattice in the by Benjamin and Sebastian using the so. Perform a semi-classical analysis with the FK form of it. You can find the following situation, which should exemplify what I mean. So this is the boundary, the cuboids on the boundary of the of such geometry. And this is the graph corresponding to them with one vertex put at the infinity for clearance. So the orthogonality conditions together with those which it's additional constraints to simplify matters, not to consider the angle degrees of freedom. In addition to those constraints which define this bivector geometry, tells you that there are four directions in space-time, and your bivectors are simple combinations of them. But the configuration is given by spins as corresponding to the areas of these bivectors. And if you try to compute what is meant to be the four volume, you have the three choices to be made. With these six areas from the from those areas which are orthogonal to each other and non-degenerate in four dimensions, and additional constraints on these areas specify that these four volumes should be equal, and what happens is that one has the analog of these twisted configurations in the which of loop quantum gravity in the spin form approach, where the areas may not of the incident cuboids not necessarily should coincide in shapes, and there exists the torsionful configurations where we're performing the parallel transport around the edge, you can get the non-closure of the parallelogram. So the to reveal what happens in you compare with the case of the four simplex where the we didn't care about four volumes constraint because the closure of the bivectors was enough together with other constraints. So you could freely change between the faces of the four simplex, giving rise to the four volume, which is unique respectively of the faces, and you can describe its shape as Barrett shown. If you try to do the same trick, it doesn't work for the cubulations, hypercuboids. So and this makes the wonder whether the jar actually reproduced in these models where all the constraints a priori should be met. One way to address this quadratic four volume is to realize that your graph is not the abstract graph, but is coming from the boundary, topologically three sphere of the four polytope, and keep track of this information with the crossings, and then you can associate the volume to the bivector geometry, which Benjamin showed is not, if the polytope is flat, its volume is given by this expression. And this thing, together with the thing which we call Hopflink volume, they do not depend on the details of the projection of the graph on the plane. So by the way to formalize the part of the missing constraints is in terms of this Hopflink volume invariance of bivector geometry, saying that it should not depend on the Hopflink which appear in your graph as the two linked cycles of edges. So, and another way, which like to look at a linear case, where a priori you have the additional set of variables, the four volume variables, and well, I think they should be taken also. Just like the B field, they're also part of our, of the configuration space. So the first the version of the volume constraints in the linear case was given by Gillian Oritia in 2010. Again, for the four simplex and basically left unexplored, we applied it first time to the non-four simplex. To this, if you put this discretizers over the hypercuboid, so the colors gives you the idea which elements should be contracted in this expression. Manipulating it a little bit, what they tell is that they imply the existence of the edge length given in terms of the three volumes and two areas independent of how you define them. So also some consistency condition. But you can also, if you take this as a definition of edge length, you can put it also in the form which resembles the volume constraint, but in three dimensions, three volume constraint. I propose, and it's suggestive that the edge length variables are more easy to handle than try to derive them from three volume and two bivectors. And so I can see that what the continuum theory would correspond to this. So you add your tetrad variables to your configuration space with the corresponding momentum. You impose the natural equation of motion by vanishing of the covariant derivative, roughly the closure, zero torsion, and studied the theory which arises, and without big surprise, it's the analog of the BF theory for the larger group, the Poincaré group, satisfying all the properties of the BF theory and also in the canonical theory the analysis was performed. Also, you can reformulate, so you can impose your simplicity constraints directly, linking the B to the tetrads. Or you can, I also gave the analog, the dual analog of the linear simplicity constraints, like they contain all here. The symmetrization is made in the arguments of these forms. So to clarify this. And roughly, this tells you that you can unambiguously define the three volume as in the form of the pyramid, where B is the area of the base, theta of the is the height, giving you the heights, and that's the analog of the volume simplicity constraint for this model. So what the message this tells us is, well, first this is you can note that this is complementary to what Bianca with collaborators recently addressed, is the higher gauge theory. It relates simply by the boundary term integration by parts. So the idea is that the troubles which we have actually related to the use as the primary variables, the variables corresponding to areas and two-dimensional surfaces. And it is natural if we bring in the the field which corresponds to the metric variables of the general relativity and consider it with the seriousness as part of our configuration space. Moreover, the corresponding client geometry as in the group theoretic description of its homogeneous space on which the Poincaré group of motion acts corresponds to the Minkowski space. Thus, you can argue that this elevates the flux, new flux formulation with the BF vacuum, explored by Bianca and Mark Kehler. Yeah, but okay. And then now I'm coming to the second part. And in which sense these tetrads, one wants to profit more from the group theory and view them as the gauge potential of translations. The general, the folk knowledge is that there are no translations in general relativity. You have them broken down to diffeomorphisms by the curvature, and your gauge group is the some subgroup of the general linear group. We want to address this and in the introduce what I called locally Klein bundle. To motivate this, a little bit of differential geometry textbook. What is happening in the standard gauge theory? The fields do not live on space-time. They actually live on some bundle, generalizing the concept of the vector, where to each point you associate the standard fiber, but not in the canonical way. They can change from point to point. Locally, you have the trivialization charts saying that your bundle roughly looks like the product space in that chart. It's roughly the gluing of the pieces of these local trivializations. You can, there's several ways to describe these local trivializations. You can give them as the sections of the principal bundle whose group is, whose fiber is diffeomorphic to the group itself. Or you can describe it in terms of equivariant, right equivariant maps from your principal fiber bundle to the group, to its structure group. Then the connections are it's the Erismann geometric connections. The student of Cartan, so he gave it roughly in the 1950, formalizing the Cartan ideas of the parallel transport. And the parallel transport they define by lifting the given prescriptions for lifting the curves in the base space. Oh, have time. complementary to the directions in the fiber, the tangent directions in the fiber, which are given canonically generated by the group rotations in the fiber, but to give the complementary space, you need this extra information of the connection, which connections provide you. And this saying how your fiber changes infinitesimally changes when you pass from one fiber over one point to the other. But then the principal fiber bundles which figure in the general in the gauge approaches to general relativity, they are not arbitrary bundles, so they are special ones, linear frame bundle given by the smooth structure of the manifold itself. You can in a very analogous way, you can parameterize its definition of the manifold. Map diffeomorphically your manifold to the some open regions of the Euclidean space, giving you the parameterization in the local charts. And then from this parameterization, there arise the concept of the frame, which is solders your tangent space to your manifold from some canonical vector space to the to your tangent space. So the its elements are not arbitrary elements of the fiber bundle, but they carry this information about that they come from the smooth structure. Important to realize that for this subsequent that the gluing requires only the smooth maps between the charts when they overlap, and the smoothness, the differentiable structure, is given by the natural affine structure of the Euclidean space, where you can choose the global, the unique global frame from performing the differentiation. And the group of translations with respect to the this Euclidean space plays this the same role as the group of in the fiber with respect as a structure group with respect to the fiber, namely takes transitively on this as the homogeneous space. So we want to gauge this a group of translations, and for that we need to invoke some affine geometry. So the affine geometry is the basically when you forget about when your vector space forgets about the origin specified, where you can label every point of the space with the vector from point vector from that origin. When you actually forget about this, you get the group is the semi-direct product of some subgroup of H, like subgroup of the linear group, for example, the Lorentz one, and it acts on the space of affine frames as both H and the V act on their respective homogeneous spaces. So it's the affine spaces is the natural principal bundle for the affine group principal space. We didn't say that it's a bundle, but the bundle given simply by the canonical projections on the equivalence classes. The useful model to picture you yourself the affine space is the hyperplane and the sum auxiliary. It doesn't have the intrinsic meaning, just a representation. Auxiliary high dimensional space and the affine group acting as the subgroup of the linear group. So the prime objects here are the points rather than vectors. You cannot add points because this moves you out of the of your affine space. You can take the differences obtaining the free vector, and you can add the free vector to the point to get to the new point. That's the essence of this. And with this model, it's easy to see how your multilinear algebra can be generalized to the affine space, where you where the bound vectors, or sliding vectors, is related to the point vectors, and they keep track of where your multivector is located. So they are subject to the action of the not only of the H but also of V. You can conveniently account for both the linear momentum and the angular momentum at one step by considering the sliding vector for the particle. So, and this suggests, the main suggestion that we slightly change the bundle structure on which our field theory, gauge theory functions. So to profit from this affine structure, this is the definition. You define your manifold to look locally like the group of motions of the affine space, the Poincaré group. So this chart should satisfy some write equivariance condition to preserve the group action, to preserve the local group action. And the transition functions that, which glues the manifold from the patches of the group, they are given in terms of the group itself. So the gluing is described by the in terms of the G, not just the arbitrary smooth mappings. To have an idea how this relates to the usual framework, just consider the composition map of the two previous charts which I outlined, and see that this is actually makes the diagram commutative, and the bundle projection compatible with the canonical projection of the Klein bundle associated to Klein geometry. The main advantage that we get is that now we have not only the H group acting in the change in the fibers, but we have the group of translations which we can actually.
Is there any notation H is the Lorentz group and G is the mechanical?
Yes. Slightly changed from previous one, but two. Okay. So, and the full gauge symmetry as the orthomorphisms of the bundle, which usually above the points for the gauge theory. Now it's the full group of orthomorphisms, also those which project down to the diffeomorphisms on the base. This can be equivalently described in terms of the functions, group valued functions depending on the point, which is gives you the usual perspective on the gauge theory is that it's the group that, which acts locally. And note that this is completely general because you may consider not only the reductive geometries where you the vector space separates as the under the action of the H subgroup, like in the Poincaré of De Sitter groups with cosmological constant, but this works for any geometries. This like with the ideal geometry described in terms of the Klein model, like conformal, projective. I think there are more examples. And this was the basic ideas of the Klein the Cartan to give the double generalization of the both Euclidean and Riemannian geometry in terms of arbitrary model spaces and non-homogeneity. That's just some suggestive drawings for you. So how the parallel transport, so we changed our bundle, how the parallel transport is described in this situation with Cartan connections. Well, basically we already have this, but this will be clear more later. So it's not given in terms of the horizontal lifts, but what one needs in the, is the important concept of parallelization. This one wants to perform the smooth choice of the basis in the tangent space, and this is equivalent as the trivialization of the to make the tangent space look like the product by some form, mapping this to the linear to
where
the
is n here.
N is some arbitrary manifold. It's parallelization for arbitrary manifold.
Before it was called M or P.
Now I want to stress that it's general.
Okay.
So what's the parallelization is the smooth choice of basis that is equivalent to the trivialization of the tangent manifold. That is having the one form which boils down to linear isomorphisms on each tangent fiber.
You mean local trivialization? General, it's not.
By trivialization, I mean that your bundle is made
globally, or
Well, I'm just stressing the theorems, the mathematical theorems.
I'm just saying in general.
It's given in terms of the one form. So it's the global definition. So if one has this form, one can do this. So if one has the trivialization globally, one has the parallelization.
Yeah, in general, it's except for very exceptional.
Okay. Then we are interested only in when this can be performed.
What don't you need it when you make a frame?
Because I want to make the finite parallel transport. Yes. Okay. But these are basically the mathematical definitions. So, just wanted the reminder because it's not so generally presented. So every Lie group is actually naturally parallelizable. Your special situation. It's given by the parallel by the pulling back, pulling forward. Pushing forward your Lie algebra vectors by the action of the group itself, and this gives you the Maurer-Cartan form. And having this Maurer-Cartan for the group and the local and our client charts, one can pull this back to the to obtain the trivialization of the parallelization of the. Of our locally client bundle. So, and because we have the right group action, the fundamental vector fields get generated by the one parameter groups of this of the right by acting on the right, they correspond to the left invariant fields on the group. This motivates to give the infinitesimal definition of the Cartan connections, more or less like sharp, like it's done in the sharp textbook, by specifying the one form, G-valued Lie group, Lie algebra valued one form, which boils down to Maurer-Cartan for on pointwise at each point. It's also the transforms in the anti-adjoint representation. The difference is that in the sharp, it was done on the usual bundle, and the linear isomorphism was required as an additional condition. Here, one has it inbuilt, and one has the covariance with respect to the full J, not only H. This is the isomorphism condition, and it's what distinguishes it from the Eriksmann. It's the transforms as the connection should transform, and gives rise also to your horizontal and vector subspaces. Now it's in the dual language, not by the projections, but by the elements of your splitting of your Lie algebra. Now we're going back to the affine example and continue with this. So, like, what about, about the curvature and how the parallel transports, what the connection tells in this Cartan situation?
So before you only had VP, which was in the kernel of the anchoring map, right? So now you just have also the horizontal one. It's got a more symmetric formulation.
Yes.
And before the anchoring map was kinematical, and now it becomes dynamical.
Well, depends on what you call kinematical and dynamical. This thing's a little bit
skewed. The anchoring map was in the definition of the bundle. There's no field attached to it.
The principal fiber bundle can be defined by the free and proper right action of the group. So it's like very group-based language.
Yeah, but the anchoring map does not enter the action.
Well,
the projection.
Yeah, it's I know about this
It's good.
Language.
Generalization, which is
okay. What about these infinitesimal connections? Well, looking at this definition, I'm just expressing what they say. I gave it the name of the oscillation equation. It's the old-fashioned word used by Cartan, very very vaguely, where it says roughly that your space, your model space is attached at the point and coincides to the linear order, so this is attached and soldered. Then this is what. The visual representation, what it roughly describes, so instead of the horizontal distribution given by the Eriksmann connection, this is the relevant distribution for the Cartan connection, and it's in general it may be non-integrable. That is, your bundle is not a priori geometrically identical to the group in your local chart. The condition when this can be done is generalizes the integrability to the non-abelian case, the fundamental theorem of calculus to the non-abelian case. This is the Maurer-Cartan equation, which distinguishes the canonical structure. And if this is performed, there exists the K, which not only basically, not only the local diffeomorphism on the regions of the group, but it can be mapped also. It makes U to have the group structure. So it's developable basically. Like the cylinder is can be developed onto the plane and without distortions. This can be done, but now it's in the group theoretic language.
So what is P here? Is it the space-time, or is it the rundown, or is it, what is big P now?
P is the bundle which we defined with the locally Klein structure. If this condition satisfies up to some covering, it is identical to the group. So it's the torsor, homogeneous space. When you choose the identity element on it, you get the whole P as.
So P is a bundle on space-time with what fiber? Isomorphic to Poincaré or no rights?
Can you? It's okay. Back to definition.
Yeah,
this is the P. It's
so
it's. The fiber over what?
Over space time.
The fiber is H.
And H is the Lorentz.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was asking. So it's a Lorentz bundle.
But.
So even after, because after you had the P was a Poincaré bundle. It's still a Lorentz.
But it's the bundle with respect to the canonical projection by H. It has the fibers which are integrable to the H. But its base is not the flat space. The base is curved.
Yeah. The base is the manifold space time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking what is P. The fiber is Lorentz.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you call the bundle that contains the rolling translations?
Locally Klein bundle. Okay. Continue.
Say
after. What is the question, Mark?
I'm just trying to understand what bundle structure we have here.
We have the normal H bundle. It's just
G is Poincaré.
Yes.
G is a Lorentz bundle over M.
Yes.
Space-time.
It's still. I think.
It's just a question about.
It's this. You have the same as you had before, but now you have extra group action by. Which you think as the rolling of your Euclidean space over the your not curved manifold. So one doesn't have the manifold, but one has the equivalence classes of the projection by the right H action. And each equivalence class is the Euclidean space which you can attach to the point, but in many different ways. So there is no specified origin on that Euclidean space. When you change the origin on your attached space, you effectively moving it across over the manifolds, change the affine basis, but now in the curved situation.
The Cartan connection is valued at G, not H, is that?
Yes.
So your omega is valued in G?
Yes. It's the infinitesimal definition. When one wants to...
Because before you had the decomposition of the connection to omega plus theta,
G is the affine algebra.
Yeah, because before in the slide, before you had the decomposition of... omega bar is in G. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is what the notation I'm following in this sequel. I'm specifying to the affine case because we are interested in gravity. So when you want to perform the finite parallel transport by rolling, you do not have the integrability condition in general, but when you pulling this down to the curve in your bundle, you have the condition which is the two forms, given in two forms, acting in the one-dimensional space. So it's satisfied a priori. And pulling this osculation equation, which is definition of the infinitesimal Cartan connection to the curve, you integrate the system of ordinary differential equation. And in the affine situation, in the matrix representation, you get the generalization of the holonomy. So from the, this is just what happens for the H part, the same as the Eriksmann, because it's a part of the Cartan connection. In addition, you have the non-homogeneous part, and on the left, this is just the Cartan, Maurer-Cartan form in this concrete situation. It has some nice features which show us what our Klein chart is effectively. So it has the same properties as the holonomy. It behaves as the covariant functor from the pass in our bundle to the group. So it's for the composition and inversion of the pass, you get the composition and inversion of its images developed to the on the group. And it also nicely projects with respect to the right H action. So it doesn't matter which linear frames you've chosen during the path, you get the development of the path in the bundle to the affine space at some point. So like literally a rolling thing. This gives the idea, generalization for the arbitrary group of the idea of outer parallels as those that corresponds to the one parameter action of the group with respect to the projection, which is in the Riemannian case similar to the geodesics. Geodesics are given by the shortest condition. It's not, when you have the torsion, it's not the same. They coincide with the outer parallels when there is no torsion, but they also coincide when the vector torsion is vanishing, but the other parts are not. It's a very natural generalization of the holonomy. Apart from the, now I clarify the relation with the diffeomorphisms in the base as they usually appear in standard framework. Apart from the frames, in our construction, one should have the tensors, the objects which are framed. They can be given usually in terms of the, again, covariant, equivariant mapping from the bundle to the multilinear algebra. And what one does is that one extends the linear thing, the linear representation with the representation of the affine group. How it relate, what are the derivatives in the usual case? One has the covariant derivative, which requires the specification of lifts. So it's a non-canonical, in a sense, definition of derivative. But it is local and preserves the tensor structure, while the Lie derivative given by pulling back the fields by one parameter diffeomorphism on M doesn't preserve the tensor structure, and it involves the derivative of the X field, so slightly different thing. There are also some derivatives corresponding to the rotations in the fiber. I define the universal covariant derivative, and this basically extends the derivative. It's given by the right group action because we have one, and it can also act on the points. So it's like the local the gauge description of the diffeomorphism group. It looks a little bit weird written in this term, and like where all the dynamics gone. I had like some time trouble understanding it, but to give you the idea, you just apply this to the situations like this. Well, for the homogeneous group, Lorentz group, it's the same as rotating in the fiber, staying at the same point. So this gives like infinitesimal transformation acquired by the vector from the change of the basis. If you choose your tensor to be some affine basis sitting the linear basis sitting at the point M, what this derivative tells is that it derives the Cartan displacement equations, which he put as the definition of the connections by specifying these forms, which if you have these forms, you know the infinitesimal parallel transport, which you can integrate along curves. Then in our framework, it's just a consequence of the oscillation equation, nothing more. So when you develop your curve to the arbitrary loop, if you have the loop in your base, which you develop to the group, you get the non-closure and you get the rotation, which you need to correct. This is what the torsion and curvature tells you, the amount which you need of correction which you need to introduce because the situation is not perfectly homogeneous. So, and then very briefly, well, I think the implications which suggest themselves are quite obvious, but a little bit weird. Well, so first to say, I want to say that the Cartan connections are our gravitational field, but how does it encode the gravitational field? Here's roughly how it's explained in the Cartan book. So consider the perfect situation of the Minkowski space flat in a particle with mass mu moving along the curve in that space. So there in the free situation, you have the inertial observer, and its momentum stays the same, constant in the direction and magnitude. While if you have the forces, like gravitational forces, acting in your manifold, it gives you the change. So just your usual mechanics. This relies on the choice of coordinates in your Minkowski space. The Einstein tells principle of relativity tells that the physical laws should be expressed in the form which independent on the coordinates on the reference frame of the observer. So what one does is that Okay, one, just make it look covariant, valid to any observer. This, like the derivative coupling, you replace it with the covariant derivative. Still one in the flat space situation. And what our laws in the covariant case tell us is that the free observer will, the development of the free observer will be the straight line because its direction stays parallel to itself. This is equivalent to this equation of geodesics. Lambda is the affine parameter for generality. If one has the force acting on our observer, it will not be straight line by the usual definition of parallelism on the Minkowski space. But if one takes account of this G modifying the connection coefficients, like Cartan did, one has the development of to this straight lines, locally inertial frames, roughly. But now with the different definition of the parallelism, which is given by the Cartan connection, which in general case may be non-integrable, but one has the conservation laws still.
VP here is a one form.
No, it's a
form.
Ah, okay. I wrote this with the wedge because you can. So if this
is the zero form,
it's the tensor zero form for the particle. But if you consider the medium, it will be the energy momentum three form flowing through the medium.
But in your equation here.
If I define the wedge, yeah, if I define the wedge to acting on the one forms zero forms by the multiplication, this gives me the correct expression. I just need to specify what my p is. Is it p of the particle or p of the medium? So
is it a one form or what is it?
It is the zero form for the particle. It is three form for the energy momentum of the energy momentum tensor of the medium.
Which one, pi or p? Big p. Let's talk about big p, the one with no index. The first one in the equation. Yeah, this one.
It's the vector valued.
There's no vector here. It's just.
It's vector by. Making it bold. We have the tensors which are mapping from which are one forms valued in the representation space, which gives us the vector. They are tensors in that sense. That's why I define them.
It's a one form.
The wedge here is in the value space. It's the multilinear algebra of the affine space. So it's the zero form.
But it's
wedged in the image. It's the bound vector which one associates to our particle, the sliding vector, which gives us both the momentum and linear momentum and angular momentum. Okay, there's one slide telling about this also. Yeah, this leads to my main assertion that the fundamental degrees of freedom of the gravitational field are given by naturally provided by Cartan connections, and one could imagine one could put forward a quantum theory based on these connection variables. In loop quantum gravity, one has the characterization of the generalized space of connections in terms of functor mappings from the groupoid of paths to the structure group. This also valid for our Cartan connections, as we showed for the K. It also maps the path in our bundle to G. I'm not entirely sure what's the projective construction when one puts this on the when one tries to regularize this. Well, naturally, to look at the graphs embedded in the space-time And then one can think about this in terms of the particles, but that's just the visuals. why I think this is useful is that gauge in this local group of translations corresponds to the action of the diffeomorphism. But now it's in the group, in the value space, so one can profit from group theory, and they correspond to the regular shifts. So it's interesting what this implies for the diffeomorphisms as they viewed in loop quantum gravity. Like, this was the configuration space, but what about the phase space? Well, I have the few suggestive ideas for you here. Like, if you view this K as the finite configuration of the field as your coordinates, then it is natural to view the infinitesimal description of the connection, here's the osculation equation, as the natural tangent vector, tangent configuration, that is the velocity of the field. If one have this idea in mind and varies the Einstein-Hilbert action with respect to the Cartan connection, one gets the natural pairing between what should be the velocity with what should be the momentum. So the momentum space here, that's the given by the Lie algebra valued three forms, which is the field theoretic generalization of the usual phase space for the particles. So here's the Einstein tensor, here's the spin tensor, this is the torsion. Everything bold, everything vector valued, I just decided not to bore you with indices, but here I put indices to a little bore you. Sorry. So in this form, the action looks like the Poincaré-Cartan integral invariant of analytical mechanics, which actually equivalent to other definitions of the to the Hamiltonian and to the Lagrangian definitions. One doesn't specify the foliation, so it's valid. In a sense, Hamiltonian here takes into account all possible foliations because it's the parameterized expression, and not T is the part of the variables, so extended phase space. And what about the diffeomorphism invariance? Well, it's our action is actually gauge invariant in that sense with respect to the full local Poincaré group action. And inserting this Lie derivative, which is the tangent of the bundle of the automorphism F, the corresponding Noether identities is like this. They look a little bit like Matheson-Papapietro equations, I think, for the particle. But now they have three forms, so they're like in more like the tensor of the medium. And the final thing to provoke your thinking, I think. There appears frequently, especially promoted by Wheeler, that the natural object in the gravitational theory is the Cartan moment of rotation. That is, when you write down your Einstein tensor, well, it's actually the coefficients which you associate to the three volume, infinitesimal three element of the medium. And it's valued in the vector. Here is the what geometrical significance it has. That is, it's you can find it in the Cartan book on affine connections. So, and try to reread this several times That's what took me to understand what is written there. And it gives you the prescription. How can you discretize this expression for the Cartan expression for the energy momentum tensors using the natural objects of the group from the group theory of the Poincaré group. And this gives the okay. One notices that this Einstein tensor here, a Cartan moment of rotation, has the algebraic structure of the Pauli-Lubansky vector. So if one somehow discretize this, that is why we're associating the rotations to the surface elements which bound three-dimensional volume, so like it's written here. Here would be the proposition of how one defines the tensor, the tensor operator corresponding to the Einstein to the quantization of the Einstein tensor in that in the theory quantum theory based on the Cartan connections. And yeah, that's basically my proposition for that. Okay, this is the weird analogy, but more or less still precise. And in the Riemannian case in 3D, to construct this, so you don't have the Einstein tensor, you have just a double of the curvature tensor associated to the surface cycle around the surface element. It puts you into correspondence to that cycle, the dual vector. The cycle itself corresponds to the direction vector sigma. If you write down k for the double dual of the curvature tensor and then put this into the coordinate expression, it's virtually the same as the equations of elasticity. And look, so it suggests that then the conservation laws express the medium in equilibrium under the action of the forces which this curvature puts associates to the elements of the discretization. So it suggests to look that maybe some insight can be taken from the discretizations of the elasticity. And if you look into the paper with the geometric discretization of elasticity, you will find out that basically what they discretize, it's all Riemannian geometry and Lie derivatives, although not in the language which I presented for you. So that's the picture that which you may have in mind. Thank you.
No technical questions. Nathan?
I apologize if you may have explained this earlier and I missed it, but why did you take the big group to be the Poincaré group instead of the De Sitter group or the...
Because... well, because you may think that having the non-trivial curvature is an essential part of the construction, whereas I wanted to make it clear that you actually not required to have this simple group to make your formalism precise, but to show how it works in your usual situation. And it's because you know how you have this picture of the tangent planes rolling along the curved manifold. You have this. You may have the same picture of this hamster ball picture, which is low-dimensional analog of the constantly curved space. So I think it's general enough to account for the non-zero cosmological constant by De Sitter group.
So it was just for illustration purposes. You mean you're not
yes.
You're not tied to the idea.
Okay. I think I presented it in De Sitter group is also the reductive geometry. So although it's a subgroup of how's it called? Transvections. They do not commute, but they still are vector spaces in the Lie algebra. They are the vector spaces under the action of the Lorentz subgroup of the De Sitter group.
Okay.
So infinitesimally, that situation pretty much the same.
Are there any more questions? If that's not the case, we can go for lunch and ask our deal there. But let's think of again.